here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we want to say it's a great privilege to be here in your house that you dedicated to you for worship, Lord, being with your people, not only in fellowship, but instruction and edification. Lord, these things are very important to us, that we might be thoroughly approved of you, workmen that need not to be ashamed, where our witness, Lord, is genuine. Our words are from the heart and based on the Word of God, so that our mouths and our hearts are agreeing with your Word, Lord, and because of the Spirit of God within our souls. Father, we know that that's what the Christian life is all about, so we pray that we may go onward and upward with you until the last hour, Lord, when the saints are taken out of this earth. So, Father, we have depended on you in the past. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't even be here. We're depending on you now. What little future is left on this earth, we're depending on you even more so than ever before. Because though we know the events that are to take place, we know them sketchily, but thoroughly enough that we can be warned and no dangers and no blessings. Lord, all these things we can know and do know by revelation this end time hour. So we consecrate ourselves this morning as never before so that we might be your servants and not worthy of you in any way, shape, or form, but at least try to give you some glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, the subject is events made clear by prophecy, and we're going to recap to the bottom of page 11 with a few words. And as Brother Branham said, the Bible is different from all other sacred books because it deals in prophetic events. That's true. No other book foretells the future as does the Bible. And over on page 7, if we remember, he said in paragraph 26, now this Bible tells you exactly who, when, where, and what to look for. And never has failed one time. Amen. See? So, all right. That's what prophecy is all about. Who, where, what, when. It's never failed. Furthermore, the central theme of the Bible is Jesus Christ, who is the Logos, or revealer of God. Now, that's very, very true. He is the revealer of God. Actually, he's God in a human form. So, therefore, he is everything that God thought of in his wisdom, particularly concerning redemption, is revealed in him. Thus, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ from start to finish, or from Genesis to Revelation. It is pure prophecy from God concerning God himself as to the how, when, and where, as we showed you, and in what form he manifests himself. Now, that's very important because people are at a loss to comprehend and apprehend the form of God. Until Brother Branham came on the scene and preached from Philippians, it is very doubtful that we have any actual books of theology extant or books of doctrine that bring that out. Although Scofield does fine when he uses the term onmorpha, which means God changing his mask. However, there wasn't anyone for a long time now who would understand that. As in the beginning, for there is only one God, not three. Now, if you have three gods, you can work it out very nicely. But then you drift into paganism. It takes a revelation to understand the changing of the mask. And that's very, very important for this hour. So you have to know the form in which he's manifested. As we said here on Wednesday night, and also last Sunday, when Brother Branham used the terminology, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is risen from the dead, he will now do in the form of the Holy Spirit what he did in his flesh when he walked the shores of Galilee and lived in Israel. Now, right off the bat, you understand then that you're not speaking of the body, which was raised up, put at the right hand of the majesty on high, and became the high priest. You're speaking in terms of what Brother Branham said. He is here now in the form of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire. So when he speaks of Jesus, you must understand that's the one he's speaking of. And if you don't understand that, then you've blown it right there. Now, the human mind cannot comprehend that. It doesn't want to let go its former theology. And if you can't let your thinking go, you're not going to understand. Now, it's a real difficult proposition to set before us. But I want you to know one thing. The message of this hour is repent, which means to change your mind. And the one who's trying to change your mind is Jesus himself. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, if you open the door, I'll sup with you and you with me. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get you out of Babylon. And when he gets you out of Babylon, he's trying to change your mind. Now, you see, the sinner had to come to Christ repentant, which means change his mind. As I said many occasions, a lot of people want to use that word repentance wrong. They say, oh, well, because when you repent, you feel sorry. That's a lie. That's not the Bible. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow is not repentance. It worketh repentance. See? You understand what I'm saying? Now, you got to let your minds go. Well, you say, well, I think Brother Branham said a statement along that line. That's true. He said a statement along that line, which has to do with sorrow, but that's part of it. So when you're involving yourself with repentance, if there's no real sorrow, there's no change of mind. That's why sometimes it's a really terrible thing to do, but sometimes some boys especially have to be whipped awfully hard for their change of mind. Some people take the scripture and they say, well, Jesus spares the rod, spoils the child. Another place it says meaning something about literally beating the devil out of him, which means not beating the devil out of him as though you're beating him to pieces, but you're getting rid of a bad spirit there. And, you know, W.B. Grant tells how that if he told a lie one time, a thing was, or stole something. He said he never did it again. His dad threw him and whipped the daylights out. I don't say that's the right thing to do in every situation. It may be the wrong thing to do in most situations. But I'm trying to show you something here. See, you say, well, I'll tell you, how sorry are you that you won't do it again? See? Well, that's associated with repentance, but repentance itself is a change of mind. Now, the key then to this age is renewing of your mind that you may be transfigured. Now, if you can't pluck out by the roots those old thoughts of yours and say the prophet is right, you're going to have an awful time. You just won't have easy skating. You won't have easy skating anyway. But you'll have a terrible job if you don't just take yourself and look at yourself in the light of what I'm saying. You've got to do it. And then you're looking at one fellow that's learned to do it to a degree. As I said, you talk to the prophet 4.5 hours with your own thinking he's saying exactly what you know he's saying according to what you know. And all the time you're fighting for 4.5 hours, can't believe it, can't be saying it. Well, he was saying it. See? So, you've got to be careful there, see? To understand. So then I say here that this word here is the revelation of Jesus Christ from start to finish, Genesis Revelation. It is pure prophecy from God concerning God himself as to the how, when, and where, and in what form he manifests himself. Then since the author is God, and the sovereign power behind it is God, it makes Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because God can't change. If it's all about God and the sovereign power behind it is God, and that makes Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, how could there be a change? I am the Lord, I change not. He said, lest you sons of Jacob be consumed. A lot of people want God to change his mind. You know what would happen? The whole thing would fall into the lake of fire. You can't ask God to change his mind. Ask God to change your mind. Amen. Ask God to change your attitudes. And the thing is this, he will do it. That's what the Spirit of God is given for. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. How sound is the mind? Well, let's take a quote Brother Branham said. He said, there's nothing left in the soil anymore, so what's in the food? And if your body turns to mush, how much more your brain? I never called anybody a mush head, but we're going to call them Zorny. So, high mush heads. You got every strike against you except for God. I say, that's a terrible condition. That's the best condition in the world if we only recognize it. Because once you've got God in the clear, and you in the clear with God, what do you want? You own it all. Just temporary halt and plans. Because we're too greedy. When we get glorified, we won't be greedy anymore except for his glory. I pray all the time, Lord, let me glorify your name. And I don't know if he's ever got around to acknowledging anything or not, because I look at the things I'm doing and I say, wow. That's not even a glorified mess. That's just mess, period. All right? He's the same yesterday, day, and forever. That's what Brother Branham said. And he kept showing us that what he did in a certain hour has got to repeat at this hour because Alpha's Omega. Now, people don't want to believe that in the Bible. It tells them categorically, as it was in the days of of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. Everybody looks at the negative side. Come on now. Wouldn't that be great for God just sending out a big negative, say, hey, there's a deluge coming. Hey, there's a fire coming. Stand back and watch, and I'll watch you fellas burn. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing in all the world. That doesn't suit redemption. Redemption's get you out of here. Noah was saved. Lot was saved. So what's he trying to tell you? Brother Branham, the only man to bring in perspective, gave us the negative and the positive. And the negative's not worth two bits. Why, it's a monumental debt of trillions to our souls. Well, what's going on that bugs us so much these days? What's messed up our brains and our bodies? Science out there, so-called. See? So we haven't got anything but a prayer. And a faith in God. But God comes on the scene. See? Same yesterday, today, and forever. What has been shall be. Nothing taken from it, nothing added to it. That's Ecclesiastes 3rd chapter. Connect that up with the Alpha and Omega doctrine. You've got God essentially never changes. What he does never changes. See? So when you see that, you know it's God. See, that's what these sermons are all about. To bring your faith up. To understand what is going on. See? Alright? Thus in turn, reveals the plan and purpose of God. This in turn reveals the plan and purpose of God and illuminates mankind in every age as to the hour in which he is living. Now, you know that right there is a bad one. People say, hey, the whole word's in vogue today. The whole word is for us today. I got news for you, that's not true. It's not true at all. Why don't you go back then and let's go down to all to Egypt and float down the Nile and we'll float right into paradise. See, can't be done. See, Brother Branham brought it. He said Noah's message wouldn't do for Moses, and Moses' message wouldn't do for Jesus. It wouldn't work. Now, do you think Wesley's message is going to do for this day? People say, well, sure it will. Well, where did the Pentecostals come from? They were called of the devil. Now, they're even endorsed by the late Pope John 23rd, because his sister or somebody spoke in tongues with Pentecostal in Italy. Now, there isn't a pope that would dare go against Pope John. Why? Because Pope John was infallible, and now this fellow's infallible. Well, you couldn't budge, you can't bust tradition. But you sure make him bend and wobble. Thank God God doesn't bend and wobble. A lot of times we'd like God to bend and wobble. As a kid years ago, I used to carry what they call the Irishman's load. You know what that is? You put everything on the wheelbar at one time, and you get a hernia trying to push it. So I would put my arm like this and put a stick up here to hold it. I piled the wood up. I could barely struggle, and being off the center of gravity, fall down. I'd cuss like a trooper. One day I said, you stupid idiot. If there weren't laws there, you'd tip over any time. You got off the center of gravity. You lost balance. So now when I trip over something, I try to think of those things instantly. If you got rid of your trips and your fallings and these things, where would nature be? Now then, if nature goes out of cater, you go out of cater with nature, and nature doesn't change the center of balance to help you. Amen. It stays perfectly steady. Then why not believe in an unbending God for our own good? Amen. It's sufficient that he in grace saves us and helps us. But don't try to get around that word where he nails it down. That's what a prophet does, and nails it down. So people don't like that business of saying, well, hey, there's a portion of the word for every hour. Even this is misunderstood. And Brother Branham said in 1 Corinthians 13:9, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is apart should be done away. I was a child once time and understood as a child, thought as a child. When I came man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know as I'm also known. Now he tells you right there, when that which in part is done away. Now, people call themselves Bible students. And they say, see, that they don't understand that the prophecy here has nothing to do with the prophetic utterance of these men that are called prophets in the fivefold ministry. Paul is talking of himself as the word prophet. And he said, we've been given this through a part. It's part upon part. 1 age, 2 age, 3 age, 4 age, 5 age, 6 age, and the 7th age comes the last part. That which is perfect come mean it's all over. It's finished. So he said, what is perfect come? He said, we believe by God's grace we have the perfectly revealed word for this hour. That is perfection. And the prophet's right on the nose. Because when the word is revealed as it should be revealed and is revealed in the last time, the thunders are there. The silence is there. The seals are there. The polishing off, the finishing, the filling in is there. And who does it? Jesus himself standing at the door. Well, that's Holy Spirit. That's not waiting supper. That's not a man standing there immortal. That's what you see right there. Prophet, God, God, prophet. Right here. We don't venerate those, but we certainly are happy we have them. No idols and statues around here, but we certainly love the Lord that's behind it all. Now, when that which in part is finished, and this Bible is a book of prophecy, why didn't Jesus say it is finished? And didn't he point to the end? It's ended? Didn't he call himself Omega? The great creator, starting it, finishing it, God creating himself in the form of human flesh, that's the introduction to the third church age. The beginning of the creation of God, which is God creating himself in the form of human flesh. We're going to be the new Jerusalem, which will be God in human flesh in many bodies, with King Jesus in human form over us, and the pillar of fire over him, and they're one. And before we even call or say a thing, it's already answered. It's there in front of us. And the second resurrection group bring their glory into the city. 144,000 stand there as those who serve the bride of Jesus Christ. These things are not understood. We must never forget that this Bible was given to us by God through prophets in Hebrews 1 and 1. That's where Brother Branham always went back to that. People don't believe in prophets. They said it's all over. God spoke in his son. What about Hebrews 12 where he speaks again? I'd like some answers from these witty people. I call them witty on purpose. God at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets. Hath these last days spoken unto us in son. Doesn't say even his son, by his son. It says in son. God in son. What's that? The dispensation of the Son of God. He condescended the pillar of fire coming over Israel by the blood of bulls and beasts. Then he condescended coming down in the form of a man. Then he shed his blood. Now the condescension is the Holy Spirit himself came down, dividing himself. But remember, before he divided himself, he himself had to come down to give a portion of himself. We're right back now where it's run out. And the Holy Ghost baptism goes on to the Holy Ghost himself, back to headship. See, that's what we're looking at. That's not hard to understand. My heaven, that has to take place. Billy Graham knows that. There's no person who claims to be born again does not know that someday the tap is going to be shut off. And Billy said, listen, after he comes and the bride is gone, they'll be having altar calls, not knowing the Holy Spirit's not there anymore. And they'll go right through and think they're born again, everything else. 10 to 1 to be speaking in tongues. God doesn't necessarily take his gift, just the giver's gone. What do you think a boy that courts a girl for quite a long time and gives her lots of gifts, and when they split up, he said, give me all my gifts back. He said, I've taken my departure and I want my gifts. Now it's been done. I don't think it's prodigal. I kind of chintz it. But I can understand human nature. And again, the girl might not want it. So I'm looking at this thing. Just because the bride and groom is gone, doesn't mean the gifts wouldn't be here. Because they're still the maintaining factor of God himself doing what he wants in spite of the devil. Remember, God never did abdicate sovereign power. He let the devil have power, but not sovereign power. Where the wrath of man will praise him, but the remainder of wrath he doth restrain. There is no power but is of God. Let's understand that. So the devil can only go so far and no further. That's exactly true. So the Bible came to us by prophets, Hebrew 1:1. And 2,000 years ago, God gave us Gentiles the prophet Paul. And at the end time has promised us Elijah just before the world burns. He is to restore by revelation. Just as John the Baptist, he will make ready the prepared people to introduce them to the groom. All right. Brother Brown spoke on that prepared people a little bit. Not too much. But you understand that comes from the book of Romans. I think it's the 9th chapter, 11th chapter vessels prepared unto honor, and those were prepared unto wrath. And those are prepared unto honor, prepared by God. Now he says in Luke 1:17, you shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the children to the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In other words, they had to be prepared somehow to know something was going to happen, and actually it was who it was going to happen. And this was the hour. It was the Messiah to be presented. See? Now, let's go to Malachi 4 and 6. And we'll finally get around to where we want to go by tomorrow morning. And he shall turn the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, what was this to be that John was doing that was actually the principle that God wanted or had in mind, and John was engaged in these things? Well, that's not a Philadelphia lawyer's argument. I know it's kind of spun around a circle, but I'm trying to get you the point. What was really his ministry all about? Introduce Messiah. All right? What were William Branham's ministry about? Introduce Messiah. To do what? To get him ready. Now listen, if that's to take place at the wedding supper, which is the coming and not the appearing, the introduction is down here, not there, because you better be ready here or you ain't going to make it there. And if you do get there, you are ready. So somebody's messed up and ain't me. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm a very logical thinker. But this doesn't need logic. This just needs opening your eyes and read. Now the prophet said, there's got to come a time. I couldn't find my list of quotations. Well, don't even come to my house, you know. If enough of you been in my study down there, which isn't a study, it's not even fit to be called a hog pen, the way I let things go, and I've got reams and sheaves of things scattered everywhere, and I couldn't find my quotes what I want, and I still haven't found them. So in there, I'm gonna boggle this one. But you know it anyway. If Brother Band says there's gotta come a time when this one introduces, the bridegroom, the revealed word. Now this is under his ministry. Now remember the book of Matthew chapter 25 says, behold, 24, yeah, it says the behold, no, 25, behold the bridegroom, and it doesn't say cometh. It says behold him. Now it says, you come out to meet him, which is Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people. See? Now don't ever put that word, you know, in there that's, behold the bridegroom cometh. It doesn't say cometh, it says behold the bridegroom. Because that's appearing. It's later when they go into the wedding supper, that's the coming. Because they're caught up in the air. See? So you have to understand scripture here. So what is William Branham doing? What's his message all about? Is to introduce you to your mate. The one that you are to live with eternally. See? Now, when it came down, we found out he wasn't one of three gods. We found out unless you were baptized in his name, whatever you had, though it could be a god, you had to come right back there and correct it. Anybody baptized wrong like I was had to come right back and be rebaptized. Now God took me on his permissive will, it was fine. But when you come to this place, it's not fine any longer because of John the Baptist stands here. And remember, half of that commission was fulfilled, the turning of the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Even Schofield saw that. I don't mean as though he were a type of vulgar student. He's a great, wonderful man. But I mean, when you just get things out of the study of the word without being a prophet, it shows the anointing of God is upon you under reformers. And a prophet comes along, just brings the whole thing into alignment. But people thought Brother Branham came on the scene and condemned everything that these men taught. That's nonsense. Brother Branham did not condemn Luther or Wesley and those men for what they taught. And if you read Wesley, you'll find that he didn't teach the things they're teaching today. And if you read Luther, you'll find out nobody's teaching what Luther taught. Man, I've got his books, and he's right down the line with us. We come out of good seed when we came from Luther. Because we did come down from Luther. We came from on down through the harlot. Let's not be, you know, think we're somebody because we aren't anybody. And this last age is warned above all. Don't ever think you take preeminence over anybody. That's what the word said. They shall not precede us. We shall not precede them, the Bible says. We mean to take a preeminence. We're the sleaziest of the whole bunch. Brother Brown's vision showed the world church of America was the sleaziest thing on under God's high heaven. Now we came out of that. So if we smell like roses today, believe me, it's only because of God's great disinfected chamber, the blood and the baptism with the Holy Ghost. We don't have one thing in ourselves worth a blood nickel. Even our minds have got it. They're too full of flashing neon lights. Got to come right down to the rivers that flow smoothly. Quiet waters, see? Got to come on right down. Now, to those who rebel against the last day prophet, they annul Hebrews 13:8, for God uses prophets to bring the word and reveal the word. Now, see, they don't want anybody to get any edge on them. No, but they don't want anybody to get an edge on them. They say, look, our church, we've got a great conclave of ministers here. Hey, we've studied. We've got the books. We've got the manuscripts. I don't care if you have. I tell you, I've read some manuscripts and they're enlightening. Oh, man, if you go back to the beginning on some of those scrolls, you can see where a lot of this stuff came right from today. Everything is a repeat. It's interesting. I've got the books. I found interesting things there. And Brother Branham would confirm and say, absolutely, because he read those books too. See? Now, these prophets are identified by God. First of all, they're indicated or set forth in Scripture. If they're not there, forget it. The next thing, they're vindicated. That's Deuteronomy 18, thus saith the Lord. There's two special kinds. There's one kind that's not inferior, though in a way it is lesser. That's a good word, not inferior, but lesser. That man, prophet, has visions and dreams, and God can speak in the inner ear. Then there's a man like that where God comes down and speaks face to face. How many of those were there? I don't know. Moses, Paul, and Brother Branham. That much I do know. Some of the others could well be. You say, what about Samuel? No way. Visions and hearing. And the hearing is to see. Because when he heard the voice of God, he said, he told the vision. So when you see a vision, you also hear. See? Now, they have the message of the hour. Now listen, for what good is that which lies behind except as an example or something to build on? And what good is that which lies ahead? For the people who listen would be excluded and the message mere telling more than vindicated truth. So there's got to be a word for the hour in which you live. You don't care about the message Sam Jones preached and these other men preached. You weren't with them. You need the word of the hour. Now, if they're another generation, they would need the word of the hour. Ha! But this generation shall not pass away. I'm praying daily for your sister Vincent. She's what, she's about 91 years of age? I think she's about 91 years of age. She's in a wheelchair some of the time, but she gets around. And I'm praying that she'll be standing here for the resurrection. What for one, what reason? For God to be glorified. To have some real old members standing here. I personally believe that most of the older ones are going to be taken away. But I'm not just personally thinking. That's just something thrown in. I see, nobody thought we'd be 20 years down the road. I'm afraid some of it is 20 years down instead of 20 years up. That's a travesty against the truth of Almighty God. Now listen, this is the reason for Amos the 3rd chapter and 3-8. What I just said a while ago. It's got to be present truth. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out in his den? Out of his den, if he hasn't taken nothing, can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? There's your thunders. Heard is the voice of the lion. And thunders came forth. And the Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? There would have to be a prophet at the time of the thunders. Now, people don't want to believe that. You know why? Because they're taught different. They just won't listen. Now, if they won't listen, what are you going to do? Walk on by. See? So when a lion roars, it's like a rumble of thunder. Now, this is Exodus time. So what better at this point than to bring up Moses and Balaam, one of which was false to the word? Directly showing Deuteronomy 18 and 15. Both prophets spoke. But one could only go so far and no further. One prophet had the pillar of fire, the brazen serpent. He had all the word, not part of the word. And he was exiting from the land into the land that God was giving him. And taking the people with him. All right? That brings us up today finally. With not too much time left. To the 11th page and the 50th verse. Then as believers watch for the fulfillment of what their prophet said. Now then, in other words, we're telling right now, those people who believe what we're saying here, that God uses prophets. He's got a word or a message for the hour. And you notice in history, that's absolutely true. Luther's message did not bring the Wesleyans. The Wesleyan message did not bring the Pentecostals. And we, you know, brought it forth, there's no way. And the Pentecostals could not bring this forth. Here's the difference. There's the disparity. Pentecost message won't do for this hour. Now you try to tell people that, they'll rise right against you. See? Won't work. And anytime anybody picks up that which has already been used of God, they are just as dead can be. It hasn't done one thing for them. Can't do it. Now, some fundamental truth runs all the way through, but you notice there's always a major truth. Like, Luther, bleed, bleed, bleed. Now, what do you do? Oh, just believe and you got it. Hogwash. You believe and you started to get it. Because as many as believe receive the Holy Ghost. But if you say, I got the Holy Ghost by just believing, you're wrong, 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 wrong. You got to go on. See? Now, some people say, I'm sanctified. I shout and scream. That's wonderful. Go ahead. I won't do it. People speak in tongues, I won't do it. That's what Brother Branham said today. He said the seals opened up and revealed the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, oh, I wonder if I got it. Oh, did I get true baptism? You wouldn't be sitting here if you didn't. What's he talking about? At the end time, the Spirit falls on everybody. Let's read in the book of Acts. It's just clear as crystal here. My. If it got any clearer, we just have to, I don't know what we do. Now, Peter speaking, these aren't drunken, but Joel spoke of it. Verse 17, chapter 2. It'll come to pass on the last day, saith God, upon the Spirit, upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters prophesy, your young men see vision, your old men have dreams, and on my servants and my handmaids, I'll pour in my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. The same anointing on two groups of people. Everybody gets an anointing. But one is God's seed, the other is not God's seed. As we know seed today, as in Christ's bride. Because the bride was, Eve was in Adam. Let's not fool with the scripture, brother. Let's get nail it right down. Second resurrection, no second resurrection. Foolish virgin coming in, no foolish virgin coming. We're talking bride. And my people are called by my name. That's bride. What if somebody loved a fella? His name was Ronald Smith. Maybe three girls loved him. One girl married him. They said, well, we love him too, so we're Mrs. Smith also. Ha! Fine barrel of cheese, that one. Oh, boy. And then he said, at that time, I shall wonder him by signs and earth, beneath blood and fire, smoke, blood and fire, paper, smoke. The sun turned to darkness, moon to blood. See, that's just before the great and notable day, the tribulation sets in, God anoints right across the board. And Pentecost said we got the genuine baptism because we speak in tongues, and we got the peripheral signs of Mark 16. And Hebrews 2, we'll read it after a while. Forget it. There's one great sign at this hour, and that's Jesus Christ himself, the great sign. I'll give you no sign but the prophet Jonas. As he was 3 days and 2 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be. And he came and proved it, the same one is proving it right now, the sign of the resurrection in our midst, Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13 and 8. In the form of a pillar of fire working through a prophet, revealing the Son of Man. The days of the Son of Man once more. There's only one thing left that's taken up. People say, well, listen, brother, says, I don't care what anybody says, the prophet nailed this down. He nailed down the spikes of Almighty God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Sure. He doesn't drag you either. I was reading something here one day. 50. We were talking about it. Now, because they, he said, but then watch his fulfillment of what the prophet said, and that's the dedication to their God's prophets. Now let's just get a little verse of scripture on that there. I'll use it here. I'm going to use it maybe later down the line again, but I want to use it right now. It's in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and it's verse 36 or 7. 6. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you, they are the commandments of the Lord. Here's a man with the word. Here's prophets that don't have the word. They got to go along with the word prophet. Now, where did Paul get it? Pillar of fire. Face to face with God. Where's William Branham getting his? He said, don't change one word. Same pillar of fire, face to face with God. He said, see how wonderful. How wonderful. He said, see, the same pillar of fire that gave the word to Paul is here revealing it. You can't get by that. Now, at the end time, there's going to be false prophets, scads of them. They're going to show signs and wonders that all but the elect will be deceived. And that says very elect. So this is going to be the most trying time on your nerves and your life spirits you've ever had. But you have no worry. It'll try men's souls. You bet it will. It's meant to. Until you come where the apostles were. I don't know anything else, but I know one thing. If this is wrong, forget it. We've got a conviction. You alone have the words of eternal life. They said back to that man that stood there in flesh. Now the same one standing in flesh is standing here today. Not maybe in our church. No, I don't see that. But he's here. And he's saying the same words. Do you want to leave me? Why, Roman Catholics speak in tongues. They're praying for the Pentecostals now. What a switch. They're all back to mother. I'm not against them doing it. I'm happy they are doing it. Sure, they need somebody. People need people. I'm not against that. I'm telling you, it's not the word of God, their brother, sister. You can't line with that stuff. There's no way. There's just no way. Now, he said, right to this hour, he said, you've seen it. And the same ministry repeats. I don't care. Listen, I don't want to be sacrilegious. But let me get this flat so you know where I stand. If it was in a doorknob. Amen. Or Balaam's mule came back. You don't denigrate that voice that's been vindicated and proven. Because that's got to be God. Because God doesn't sell his integrity for two bits. We'll go into that later on. So in this last day, you've got the same thing that Jesus said. Are you going to leave me for these? Everybody's on the bandwagon. Gifts, this, that, and the other thing. Everybody's got an anointing. Everybody's showing signs and wonders. Everybody's got the answer. Now Jesus said to the group, when the 70 walked off, he said to those apostles, will you leave me too? And they said, hey, we're stuck. Why? What do you mean you're stuck? Well, we're stuck. Oh, come on. You got a better answer than that. Give me some reasons. Well, it's this way. We believe that you alone have the words of eternal life. And we can't prove anything. We wouldn't know how to go about it. But something tells me if this isn't it, no, forget it. That's where you got to be. Where would I go today from what I believe? We say, why do you say that, brother? Because this is final.
That's right.
I'm not sitting on the fence to tip one way or the other way. I'm on one side of the fence. Amen. And the wall is too high to climb and I'm too old to jump. And I wouldn't trust any of you guys to push me up there anyway. That goes, everybody that hears this tape, I'm just kidding you here, of course, you know that. No way. No. We're stuck. Now, then as believers watch for the fulfillment of what their prophet said. See? Now they're watching for it. They're seeing something. That's the identification that they are God's prophets. Now here's the point. I want to ask this question. Who was really looking for something definitive when William Branham came on the scene? It was very nebulous. One or two were looking for Elijah. That's all it really takes, one or two. Like Daddy Boss, I prayed, Brother Bailey, I prayed 40 years for the ministry of Jesus Christ to return on this earth, to this earth, and there it is in that man. What gave Daddy Bosworth the idea to pray for the ministry of Christ to return on earth? Evidently, Matthew 4 and Matthew 12, the two chapters. Show me one book of theology that even mentioned that idea. Show me one person who thought of how it would be if it would be. Everybody wanted it. But everybody believed they had it. My church has got it. This church has got it. There's some wonderful churches in South America. There's a Pentecostal church built on a very wonderful man. Today the family's a millionaire, so I don't know what that really does. They're wonderful people. Pentecostal. But they were so wonderful, you can't tell them anything. Not running them down. But some of us were in the same boat. Rich, increased in goods, and didn't lack a thing. Tell me what I need. Ha, I've got it. And know not, you're wretched. An object of pity. That's what the Bible says. That word is pity. An object of pity. Wretched. Miserable. Really, if you saw it, you couldn't stand yourself as well as that which is around you. You'd have to come to the place where you're screaming out to God like a sinner that didn't know anything about religion or the gospel or Jesus Christ or the moving spirit whatsoever. Wretched, miserable, naked, blind, don't even know it. What kind of a person is that? Laodicean. Right at this hour, by Nicolaitan concept. Now, who saw anything? But when it came before us, we recognized in the seeing and in the hearing. Now he said, and as believers watch for the fulfillment of what their prophet said. And that's the identification that they are God's prophets. Now once we got onto it, we began to watch whatever the prophet said we knew would take place. That set up the stream and the pattern for those who weren't where we were and say, hey, show me where a man's word will do that. Then they start coming to Christ. Why do they do this, Brother Brand said? Because they're inspired. That they're inspired. They sure are. Next, they say exactly what the word, what the word of the hour. Then that's his credentials. Now, how, now we knew that in our instance, that from events in history, we were coming to a place, especially with Israel going to the homeland, where we knew something had to happen in the chronology of God's sacred history. We knew something had to happen, but we didn't know what. When a prophet came, I just knew this was a great man, the same as you did. This was a phenomenon beyond a phenomenon. This was something to do with God himself, indicative of the area of time in which we are. So it's been proven out. That's his credentials. In other words, if the prophet isn't with the word, And that which he says comes to pass under his ministry, you turn him down. Now, it's thus saith the Lord, the man's God. Now, watch. Many false prophets will rise. We get that last Sunday. That's July 25th, the anointed one's the end time. And we gave the illustration how Balaam and Moses both anointed with the same spirit. See? One of them said, well, we're all one. Let's come join. Put our girls and all together. We got pretty girls over here. You got boys. Come over here. You take a nice wife. That's all right. We're all one people anyhow. The same race. Mingling your seed, see? The Antichrist does the same thing at the end. Now, he's already opened the door for Protestants and Catholics to marry in front of the altar. One time they couldn't. But it's okay now because the Catholics admit that they invented water baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And every Protestant baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is automatically a member of the Catholic Church because you've been baptized right. You have your entrance to heaven. So you're now blessed. Now, where'd that come from? They said, all right, that's all right. We're one people anyhow, the same race. God never did forgive them for it. They listened to that. All right, now the churches are coming together. We know that. What's it under? It's under a false anointing. In other words, the anointing itself is not false, but the people are false to the word. They don't watch the word. Now we've got a clue right there. Never join anything. Don't even join a local church, except join yourself to the people in worship. Centralized on God. But nobody has a membership book. Nobody's shaping for them. See, the world, the people are watching for some little outlet, some little bypass, some little shortcut. But there are no shortcuts in the Word of God. There's one pattern. You must cut yourself to fit the pattern, not try to cut the pattern to fit you. In other words, don't try to adjust God to your ways. Adjust to God's way. Because one day we're going to die. Everybody must do that. And that's the only way that God has of doing it. That's by the revealed Word. Not just Word. It takes God to reveal the Word. Because everybody's in this Bible. Here, you take right here. I don't care if the Catholic Church said that's the history of the church and we wrote it. That's the funniest thing you ever heard in my life. That's good to keep me laughing for at least 7 eternities. What are they talking about? That's as good as a joke the Texan theologian, Roman Catholic Church in Texas said. Why, he said, we're tired of you people telling you Protestants saying we murdered you Protestants. Why was you Protestants murdered us Catholics? When did the Protestants ever kill 6 to 8 million Catholics? Threatening martyrology. Where'd you do it? I'm not fussing Catholic. I'm talking about the church. The reason I'm saying this is because I just read an article last week or so in the Reader's Digest where a Roman Catholic author who studied church history pulls out the same old sour nut. Well, he said, why did the church do this? Because they weren't Christian. And then stays in the same church? That's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. He said, your fathers put them in the tombs and you're literally the ones that did it in them and you're going to do it now. Right down the line. I got fussing against them. See, what about the Protestants? They're the same type. Protestants, no different. No different. Because where the Catholic Church organized once and stuck with it, the Protestants organized time after time after time after time after time and haven't stuck with it. Shows the Protestants only have a tradition. It's muckier than mud water. Now, cut yourself to the pattern. Notice now, the believers wait for that word to be confirmed. Okay, he's talking about events confirming, prophecy being confirmed by the words that's, by the events that are coming right now. Okay? In other words, there's the vindication the prophet has, and the events must occur and match the word. And he said, see, it's not written by man, that's the Bible, but by the Lord God, therefore it is not a book of man. That's true, because man's spirit can't write a Bible. Man's spirit reveals man's spirit. It reveals man. It doesn't reveal God.
Amen.
I don't care how smart the man is, or without the rebirth, there's no way. Because you got to be in that word. That's why the constant theme of our message up here is, if we get right on this word with the right spirit, there is nothing that will stop us being in that rapture. There's nothing to stop our flow of love. There's nothing to make us mad at anybody. We might be a little perturbed, upset at times. A little righteous indignation, as Brother Pete brought out. We won't be angry without a cause. That's scripture. And love is not easy to provoke. Doesn't say it isn't provoked. It's not easy to provoke. We'll be coming right down the line because we're still human. We're fallible. But we won't be in extremes. We'll be more patient, more meek, more within the line of the pendulum, not way out here, right in central. So don't look for perfection here outside the resurrection, but look for growth. Look for transformation. By the grace of God, we're getting there. See? All right. Man's spirit today is fulfilling oneness with God and with each other by ecumenism. Well, where is true ecumenism found? Okay, let's go to the scripture. 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter and verse 1. And let's read it. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Now the rapture hasn't taken place. See? He's dealing with the events that are coming up. Now he said, our gathering is unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's Hebrews 13 and 8, show me where he changed his mind. Which of you convinced of me of sin that finds me wrong in one word? Finally, he said, one word out. Then the bride is coming to Christ the Logos, the Word, fully revealed. We know it is He. We know it is what He's saying concerning His own Word. Now we're gathered to that Word. Eating on that Word, which has been breathed upon, giving us life to transform us and put us into the resurrection without even dying. Now God had the time to do that. I've told you before how in Genesis, He said, lest He put forth His hand and reach and take the tree of life and live forever. It showed that God had a time space already in His mind, 6,000 years. When man would come to that. But He said, man can't come to it without the sacrifice. Now the Old Testament saints are risen from the dead. They're up there with Him somewhere. Where? Don't ask me. I don't know. But Abraham and those men are raised in the first part of the first resurrection. All right. Oneness today is by ecumenism. Oneness for us is gathering on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. The message. See? And remember, He came down to make Himself head of the church. Not some person. Somebody said it's just some old Hebrew writings. Would the Hebrews write a letter that condemned themselves? Would that fine nation of Jews? And they're smart, buddy. Don't think they're not. Self-styled and polished. In other words, they've had their own culture. They've not been molded by others. Boy, listen, that's what makes the world mad at that bunch. They're feisty everything else. If we were in their position, we'd be pretty feisty too. I can tell you, America had better watch because she will turn on the Jews. You know, Rockefeller tried that when the oil crush came on. His bunch had put big ads in the paper. Smack down the kikes and get on with the Arabs. And America revolted. People don't like guys like Falwell and those people. I want to tell you, Falwell is a very valuable instrument in the hand of Almighty God. Any man that preaches the gospel and lines up, never mind what the Jews look like. They belong there and they need our support. One day we're going to forsake them. That'll be the day the Russia wants to walk down and take over. They will, don't worry. America's going to be judged because she built the image to the beast. She's rescued all the churches of Rome. And she rescued all the old Protestants too. They're all the same thing. Mama and daughter's the same thing. Don't ever differentiate except at this moment because they're going to get together. See? Self-styled and polished. Would they write their own iniquities, condemning their own selves? Certainly not. Tell of his own sins, how they went into idolatry, how they committed fornication against God's word? No, they'd never tell that proud nation. How about organization? They gloss over it. Israel tried to gloss over it, and God pinned them right down. He said, men now. He said, you're father of the devil, so don't give me any of your nonsense.
Amen.
He said, don't talk to me, I'm talking to you. That's kind of a way to put it, isn't it?
Praise the Lord. They tried
to kill him. He just slipped right through their crowd. Where's he? Where's he? Where's he gone? Where's he gone? Anybody seen him? Nobody saw him. They haven't seen him this time either.
That's right.
The old song, Jesus is passing this way, he certainly is. And he's not through passing because the pillar of fire takes us into the millennium. Never forget that. See? People just get a little bit worried about those terms up and down. You forget those terms up and down. He came down, period. And that wasn't just in condescension. The condescension took place. This is to restore everything. This is glorification. Yes, sir. This is God calling the notes we're marching to. See, it's not a book of man. Certainly not. It's a book of God. And the men who see the visions or hear the voice of God never understood it many times themselves in many cases. That's right. No way. See, man didn't write the Bible. God wrote the Bible. It's not a man's book, it's God's book. It's God's thoughts expressed through human lips. Now you keep that in mind. In other words, it's God in print and actually Logos. That's what makes it the Bible. A thought expressed as a word. And in the beginning was God thinking. He expressed it through the lips of his prophets and confirmed it by his servants. That's right. Now, it says he expressed it through the lips of his prophet. This could be 2,000 years ago, and I just looked up Jacob's prophecy to Israel that was 3,700 years ago. See? It was said back there. Now, what's going to really make the fulfillment of much of that prophecy that Jacob had. When there Elijah, the fifth time, the spirit of Elijah comes on the scene with Moses. See? Now, he says here it comes to the prophets and confirmed by the prophets. Now, you well know that we read in Amos here already, that third chapter, seven. Surely the Lord God is nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now, in every case, the servant is not a prophet. He doesn't need to be. For there is a revelation of redemption in a simplicity that's continued from the beginning. And where he said, destroy not the oil and wine, he meant what he said, and it never was destroyed, so that did not take a prophet to revive that. There were people being born again all the time, coming up through the mire. Many protested the organization which they're in. Then came Luther, a reformer. But he was a true servant to God. In fact, many people still call him a prophet. And some once in a while, Brother Branham lets us slip that he is a prophet. But he was not the caliber that William Branham was. He would be a fivefold. And being a fivefold, he would not come to the place of perfection that this man came to, because Paul said, if any man thinks himself a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge what I write, not somebody else writes, but what I write is the commandment of God.
Amen.
So he supersedes all authority right next to God, because he is God to the people.
Amen.
Just like Moses. Paul, same thing, now William Branham. So William Branham would come on the scene for that which those men could not apprehend, because it took a prophet of this caliber. See? Not even the caliber of the fivefold, which is tremendous. Because they were to Agabus, and those men were tremendous. But it takes this caliber. Okay. So, the confirmed word of the scripture, coming by lips, not the mind, but the lips only. Then confirmed down the road. So that's always current. And events will bear out the hour. Now, we look back in history and we place Luther. They had a name to live and were dead already. They could have gone back so easy. And they did by organization. But mighty men began to spring forth in the Reformation. Now, God does his own choosing. He's talking about prophets by predestination. He chose the prophets for every age. Now, that means there has to be an unfolding, magnified revelation of God's purpose in redemption until it necessitates an end-time prophet to end it by revealing it all. And at that time, God would be his own prophet, because Alpha is Omega. And the first intimation of revelation of redemption was by God himself face to face with Adam and Eve. You say face with Adam and Eve, that means we see him face to face. Didn't I read in the Bible you do? Well, you saw William Branham. You weren't looking at man, you're looking at God. Temporarily. Why did we go to those meetings all the times we went? To see God in action.
Amen.
The man was fine. Nobody more wonderful than Brother Branham, like Brian quoting me, that Brother Branham was closest to a millennial man I've ever seen. He certainly was a millennial man in many respects, but not fully. He wasn't glorified yet. And I'm sure he wouldn't give up what he had, give up that for this. He wants something just like we, and he's in good position to get it now, but pretty soon now. Because he's the last one over. The last messenger's gone. The last one that took the word. Then who is here? God himself. Because like John the Baptist, William Branham said, he must increase and I must decrease. How could you ever say that about any prophet? It would take God, what God himself wants to say. He said, John the Baptist, greatest man ever lived, born of woman. I say, now hold it. How in the world could he be greater than Moses? You ask God. And now God didn't ask me, he told me. And John said, I've got to decrease that he may increase. Now, John the Baptist was the greatest, which he was. What are we going to do about that? If William Branham was the great prophet of this hour, what are you going to do about him? The next one's got to be God.
Amen.
And that's what it says in Malachi, God and Elijah. If I didn't send Elijah, he said, I'm going to burn it all up. So there you see it. You see, wonder why I'm preaching this way. I'm preaching this way, brother, sister, because there's another spiral coming this way. You always got to go back to the prophet before we hit a plateau. You always got to start with the prophet again, and you spiral upward. I wouldn't preach this way if it didn't be something greater coming. In other words, a further revelation of this word for more transforming power, because I'm looking steadily at one thing. There's got to be this love come into the church. It's already here, but it's got to manifest. And it's not going to manifest until God's people are solid and sound, because this is one thing that's not going to be wasted, because right after that comes the resurrection. Here's where we're coming. There's no way, because the prophet said so. I will not take back what the prophet said. There's no way. We look for what he said, we believe what he said, and it's coming. Now, see, God did his own choosing. By predestination, prophet for every age. And the end time, God himself is his own prophet. He is here. Brother Brand said that Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not man, God, but it comes by a prophet. Again, he said, our Joshua is the Holy Spirit to lead us to the millennium. And Joshua is Jehovah's Savior. It just happened to be the Greek for Jesus, that's all. I mean, the Hebrew for Jesus. So there you are. Now, notice. We got time. It says, he fixes the nature of that prophet to fit the age. In other words, the nature of the man will be vastly different from the nature of the age. Now, he won't conform to the age. Could you see a prophet coming on the scene so sleazy, has to be wretched, miserable, naked, blind, doesn't know it? To see the American church so rotten, filthy, that they've got all their clothes off except the fig leaf in front. The buttocks is entirely bare and the breasts are entirely bare. That's heathenism. That's sexual worship. That hasn't got anything to do with God. See? He's going to be different. Because he has to confirm truth and condemn error. He's got to do it. So he himself is different. And he as a person becomes a rebuke in that hour. He might appear to be crazy. A nitpicker. A woman hater. You call it what he wants. What you want. He is contrary to them and they are contrary to him. Now, if you think that wasn't true, you follow William Branham, same as you follow John the Baptist. And I'm going to tell you one thing. If people in this land had the authority like old Herod did and old Pilate did, they'd have had his head off long ago. He wouldn't have died in a car wreck. They'd have blown his head off. When that gun blew up, they thought, oh boy, that's good. God almost got that dirty guy, William Branham. I know there's more than one person said that false prophet's been killed good. Because how do you know? Because one person did say it, so there's got to be more. When you see one rat, there's lots of rats around. It's just a matter of the dark. Now that he's been gone so long, they're all coming out of the woodwork now. For about 18 years, nobody dared to call Brother Branham anything but what he was, except one or two that were completely obnoxious. And that took a German guy in Germany to write a book that's so filthy, it's so disgusting, it's immoral. And a man from South Africa did the same thing, same principle. I wrote a book, it's right with the Word of God. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I know it's not just God's doing, not mine. If I didn't have inspiration, I wouldn't have written it. No way, shape, and form. All right, he fixes the nature of the prophet to that age. Fits the age. See, he fits his style. What he does. Okay, fits his style. That would be what he enjoys in life. His culture patterns, his lifestyle. How he likes to be alone or with people. And his life among the people. Not just the pulpit. But he will put God first and love and do his will. Now that's his style. He fits him whether he's educated or not educated. All right, a prophet seemingly, if you know what a prophet is, would need little or no education because God puts his words in his mouth. Let somebody else write them. That's what they had scribes for. The prophet said it, and the man would say, now just a minute. You said it too fast. He said, I'll say it again. He said it word perfect. You know Brother Branham could do that? You know his own speech was this? He said, look, I'm the only man that can tell it as it is seen, and the only man can say it as it was said. No. Now, an educated person can't do that. No, he had to have a photographic mind. And even he couldn't do it. So you see what kind of a man the prophet is. He is truly unique. And furthermore, talking of education, no truly educated people, except their stuffed shirts, a truly educated person, except for a stuffed shirt, will overlook grammar. Yep. I'm sure that the person who found a great diamond was not panned because he wasn't educated. He was elevated because he was lucky. But here's a prophet. He can tell it word for word and picture for picture. And he can tell your dream that you forget. He'll tell your dream right to the end and say, hey, you forgot this or you added this. Or say you're thinking it's wrong. Tell you right now. Truly educated people overlook that stuff. For they see the whole man. And they understand the purpose where he is. And furthermore, it says he fits the gifts. God gives him gifts. The manner that he'll preach in. Hank, tote, fetch, and so on. The gifts he'll have. His gifts will be authentic and suit the hour of the role that the Holy Spirit is using. In this case, Elijah. Rugged. Real. John the Baptist. Uneducated. John got his learning from the desert. He sure knew what he's talking about. William Branham went to seventh grade, but one day when people were, you know, panning him, he said, yes, I only went to seventh grade, he said, but believe me, I knew what was in those books. In other words, don't push me too hard. You don't have to have beyond a seventh grade education. Look, I could have quit school to grade 8 and be just where I am right today. You said, well, that's no advertisement. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not, but maybe it is. Sure, they took my essays and things up from grade 6 into high school. Said, you do as good as this kid, you're doing something. I could have quit. I look back and wish I had quit. Well, I didn't go any place with it. I'm not pleading for ignorance. I'm just telling you, look, just don't put a premium where it doesn't belong. I don't put a premium on ignorance and the lack of education, not for a minute. You've got to be educated for certain areas. You don't have an education for other certain areas. God's got an economy like that. It sticks out like a sore thumb. Why do you think these people in the beginning were farmers? Adam knew more from God in 5 minutes than the world knows about agronomy right now by studying and living it all these years, this almost 6,000 years. Already suits his gifts. They'll be authentic and suit the role of the hour. What's the role of the hour? Presence. The days of the Son of Man. The days of Sodom and Gomorrah. The days of Lot, of Noah. The role is there. All right, let me keep reading. And the message for that certain age, God's predestinated that certain thing to happen, and there's not another thing can take its place. Then you see there's a message. Now watch his message. Don't care what it is, how many man-made achievements, nothing can take its place. He's predestinated man, maybe an ignorant man. He might be a predestinated him another kind of man. Whatever he is, he gives him his class, his gifts, his nature, his style, and whatever it is, how he expresses himself, and whatever he does, and he makes the man of the hour to catch the people of the hour. In other words, he brings a message and a way of life, manners, gifts, everything, to bring those men right in where he wants them. What about Billy Graham? He's not a prophet, but he's doing exactly what God wants done. What about Roberts? Exactly what's supposed to be done. He's absolutely, all these men are right in there. You're in the place where God wants you. I don't care whether you think you've gotten evidence of being saved or not, or what you're doing, you're right where God wants you. Or he'd put you someplace else. Let's not get ourselves fussed up with these things. Now, to catch the people, there's your three pulls. He had a sign in the hand, discernment of the heart, then the word of God came for it. Okay, the sign of the hand brought confusion. People ran for it. Discernment, everybody began discerning. Now at the end time, what happened? The word of God came, people are taking the word that he said, applying it their own way. And I'm not talking about us that follow the message. You can hear Brother Branham preached almost around the world by people who don't believe him, but they like what he said. So they don't say one thing about Brother Branham, they'll take what he said and adapt it to their own way. When you do that, you're putting a new patch on an old garment. Bluey, that's horrible. You might as well try to patch a balloon with a piece of rubber and a flat iron, hot iron. It's not going to work. Put new wine into old skins, blows them apart. Well, you can blow a glass bottle apart doing that. Never mind a goat skin that's going to fall apart anyway. See? Most of the people came to see the sign. And the miracles. And he ran off. They saw the dermot. They left. Some saw all three. And they pressed on with God. But let me tell you something. After his death, there was no more the sign in the hand and no more discerning. Those had to come by testimony to the prophet and the word of Almighty God. And if they liked and said, this is what the prophet said, this I understand, this rings a bell with me, and I know from experience, people have told me how they read certain things of Brother Branham, and they just rang a bell. They said, that's it. Didn't understand a word, but they said, that's it. Sure. God deals with people over this message, even visions. Supernaturally. People crying unto God. Nobody can get to that person, so God says, you fly to Jeffersonville, Indiana. Where in the world is that? Well, that's over in the States. Fly here, do this, do that. Whatever it is, see? Now, at the end of each age, when the church has turned to the world and sin, and leaning upon man's interpretation of the world, at each age it does that. It goes to man's interpretation. Why? Because they want to bypass the pattern. They want to bypass their sinning. They won't fit the pattern. Why? Because the word is contrary to them, and they're contrary to the word. They get in such a mess by their theologians and priests until all was a mess up. All was their interpretation is wrong. Not one time has it ever failed to be wrong. Not one time has God's word ever failed to be right. That's the difference. Now, it takes time to prove this, but history proves it. We were not here to see history prove. It's vindicated this hour what we believe. We don't look to history. But history proves what we stand for and what's going on. It sure does. Yes, sir. Now, they get in the mess by their theologians. That's right. Why do they get in the mess? Because men organize on a truth. The truth produces the denomination. The denomination produces the organization. Because they take man's way to protect truth, they formulate a doctrine, but then they stop there instead of waiting for more light. That's why all organizations swear they have the truth. When light comes anew, it is rejected, and their light becomes darkness to them, and they lose what they had. The Bible says so. It said, beware when your light becomes darkness. It does become dark. The man becomes stale and wiggle worms in it. The worms eat it. It becomes darkened, as he does. And then it says, when he said, even a man... what hath will be taken from what he has, taken away from him. And they get up there at Pentecost and Judgment Day, and they say, Lord, I cast out devils. And Pentecost won't be the only one saying it. Every denomination will be saying it, because they're all in the same bandwagon. And we prophesied in your name, did so-and-so say, I never knew you. Even what they have is taken away. Well, just a minute, Lord, I gave everything I had to feed the poor. He said, I'm sorry. It doesn't work. Well, I did great. I repented, and I tried to make things right. Well, that's wonderful. But you didn't believe the word of the hour. So you didn't believe me. You believed what you wanted to believe about me. What I wanted you to believe about me and show you, you turned down. Now, come on, that's the word of God. Right. That's concerning those false prophets, brother, sister, and the people that follow them. Because this thing was not done in a corner. Manson Bose, and he would know well. He's flown around the world and to Africa many, many times. And he said, years after Brother Branham's campaign in South Africa, down there in Pretoria, wherever it was, Johannesburg and all through there. He said, even the airline pilots were talking about that great meeting down there.
Hallelujah.
Went plumb around the world. And people say, well, I never heard of him. You know why you didn't hear him? Your preachers turned him down. Your organization turned him down. They couldn't afford to have him. Couldn't afford to have him. My God, it would have brought the millennium on. He'd given him eternal life. And they chickened out. They got scared. What's to be scared of? God's not to be afraid of. Not at this point. Not in this hour. Reverence, respected, love. But not feared in something abject. Where he's going to take something from you. I'll tell you, if he takes anything from you, it's your sin and your disease. Man, bring on the anointing, let me tell you. You get a healthy soul. You're wide open for a healthy body and a healthy pocketbook. What if you're wanting anyway? You know what they want? They want to push God off the throne and get their own little puny being up there. I don't want a man on my throne. I don't want to be on my throne either. Fool you. I know what he there is, what he ain't too. Forget it. If you've got confidence in me, you've got the wrong end. And you're gonna fall just flat in the fritter. It won't work. I'm trying to build your confidence in God. Point to him. Whom we know today as we never known before. We're not looking through a glass darkly. Not anymore. But even the light is on the showbread, what you're eating. See, brother, sister, look, everything depends on light. Light has warmth. People want to get warmed up. Get to the Word. See, prayer is good, but don't get on a bandwagon of prayer. Father, he said, he that doesn't hear my word, I won't hear his prayer. Where does that leave man then? Leaves him where we want our church based, right on this Word. I don't say we're there yet, but we're trying. We're going to keep trying, see? Now, God's Word's never failed. It isn't going to fail either. See? There's always their interpretation's wrong. Not one time ever failed to be wrong. You can see why God had to send a servant, usually a prophet or a reformer. But at the end time, it's going to take a prophet. Absolutely. There's no way out. Reformation won't do it. Now you see, paragraph 57, we're going to close now pretty quick here. Now you see God wrote the Bible himself. Now God can speak. Moses said he spoke to him. Jeremiah said he put words in my mouth. God can write. He wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger. Wrote in the walls of Babylon. He wrote in the sand. Two. And remember the Old Testament alone? 2,000 times a prophet said, thus saith the Lord. You know, that's fantastic. 2,000 times. God can speak and God can write. You see? Now, when God says, thus saith the Lord, you know that the thing has got to come to pass or it's not God. Because God will not back up his integrity, because he's the way, the truth, and life. Well, he will not back up a man's word. He's only going to back up his own word. He said, I stand by my word, behind my word, to perform it. Literal translation. Not my word, not your word. But if his word is in your mouth, you being a true servant of God, a prophet, that word has got to come to pass, then people have got to listen to you.
Amen.
Now, I'm using wrong English. I have got, but I'm doing it on purpose. I want to nail it right down. You are obligated. It's incumbent upon you. It is demanded. You are condemned without it. Now, that's strong language. But that's the way it's got to be. Because now, look, I'm not God. My preaching can condemn me. Don't worry, man. They said, the guy said, Wally, when I point my finger at you, I've got three more, not four, pointing back at me. So don't ever think that anybody's up here trying to tell you something that a preacher doesn't have to knuckle down to, and even more so. All right. Almost 90% of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the very words of God himself, Jesus Christ speaking. As I said the other day, those were just scribes under anointing. What about a prophet? He's a billion miles ahead of a scribe. Behold, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. The prophet is the man who gives it. The rest are those that teach it, and the scribes are those that only write it down or read it to you verbatim. But the in-between ones, the fivefold ministry, break it down, and he'll try to help you to see many related scriptures and facets. So you say, hey, I can build my faith on this. Wonderful. Let me tell you, no house is built on a true foundation unless there's four points in the foundation. In other words, even the basement's got to have four concrete pinions in it, whatever you want to put down. So therefore, the more you get of this word revealed to you, the better off you are. All right. So if God can write, if God can read, God can talk, can't he cause others to do the same? Or didn't God say, who makes man dumb or who makes him speak? Who kills and makes alive? See, people just, Brother Branham is reasoning here, trying to show the people, listen, this ministry is authentic. Please listen. Not for my sake, but for your sake. If it was for his sake, he could have walked up 30 years ago. Been dead 20, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, could have walked up. What did he stay around for? It's the same reason Paul did. He said, I'd sooner go and be with God, but he said, for your sake, I'd better stay. And that depends on God, too. But it's time for Brother Branham to go. It meant one thing. It meant that we had to learn to walk by faith now, the real faith, and faith in Jesus Christ. And let the one that's here now take on greater authority and greater praise and magnification. So he can he not do things? Did he not say to Moses, who makes man dumb or who gives a speech? Well, I quoted that. God wrote the Bible by the prophets, his way of doing it. Now, if he's the same yesterday, day, and forever, and he speaks in the prophets, won't he do it today? And won't the word of the prophet be the very word of the hour? God with us, and that's exactly what. Well, our time's pretty well run, about 12:15, I guess it is somewhere in that area. 12:19. All right, we did good today. We cover about 8 paragraphs in 2 hours, somewhere in that area. So we'll be here for the rest of the year. This is horrible. 13 pages. I plan to get to page 16, and I'm only on page 13. Well, Wednesday night then, Lord willing, we're able to take punishment, and I'm able to stand up here with you. We'll have a service. I trust you're getting help. I repeat again, we're trying to show you what Brother Branham, I think, spent maybe 40% of his time on, pleading for his ministry. And if you understand the ministry is absolutely God, manifested, understand what God is doing in this hour, then, brother, sister, your confidence will know no ends as to your faith in this word. You come to the full assurance of faith. And Abraham did not come to the full assurance of faith until the visitation from God just before the fire fell of Sodom. And when the fire fell of Sodom, the son was conceived and brought forth upon earth. Remember, it took that to get their body changes. We are in the same process. Every type and shadow points to it. And we're going into immortality now. We are already into the process of the rapture. The process of catching up. Time and eternity are blended. Yet we just don't let this just saturate our minds and our comprehension down in our souls until we become a born-again soul in its true reality. We're being birthed into it, but my, it's so slow. See? The process of the ever-increasing knowledge to the transformation of our very cells is going on. See, one of these days, look, brother said, let's face it, Abraham had this same process going on, and one morning he woke up and he's changed. He found himself changed. You and I will not escape the footsteps of faithful Abraham. See? The trials are all here, just like he went through the dark periods. The constant affirmation of what God said. And God, Abraham was the prophet himself, and God dealt with Abraham. Now God dealt with the prophet this hour. Now he's dealing with you and me. How? By his literal presence and the pillar of fire and by the Holy Spirit within us. We have, look at this, what they say in the words of vernacular, it's a lead pipe cinch. As Brother Branham said in the spiritual vernacular, here's the judge and the attorney and the jury, and Jesus Christ is all three. He said, case dismissed. You have got to have your confidence where it belongs. And that confidence is not in you, period. You had nothing to do with that. You had nothing to do with it. When it came on the scene, like me, you're just a dumb dodo. You couldn't recognize. You knew something was there, but that was it. What was there? What was there? Oh, God, what was there? And the prophet began to tell it. When he did, they walked off. We didn't walk off. We stayed and said, tell us more. Tell us more. We got greedy and guzzly. And we wanted all in a nutshell. We get up in the morning, went down to Jeff, just got up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m, got down there and stood outside 3 hours or so, maybe 4. Got in church where it's hot. And pretty soon your eyes are getting glued. Tears coming down. Saliva dribbling out of your mouth. Waiting for the magic word. I even fell asleep sometimes. Which is unusual because I'm not a sleeper. Waiting for the magic word. The magic word is being given all the time. I didn't know a growth process. A transforming process. Not something in 15 seconds. Been going on for 20 years now. Since he left. Let me tell you something. The prophet said 25, 100, maybe 10, maybe tomorrow. Who knows? But you got to start right there. You turn that down, you turn it all down. The more you know that, this has come to life. The more you and I come to life. It's not heaping honor on a man. Amen. It's heaping honor on God and his ways. You and I alone, of all people on this earth, I'm talking of those who follow this message, not this local little group here. We, above all people on earth, understand what others have no way of knowing. And this is that shout. This is that shout that leads us to immortality. We'll bring the dead out of the ground. They'll be changed first, but they with us cannot be made perfect. There's going to be a summoning. Because we'll be busy talking to each other in a glorified form. The world won't see it. We'll be in a dimension. I'm sure it's going to be a dimension. We'll be together. If you want to meet some saint over there in Jerusalem, just go over and see him. That's all. Why not? Travel like a speed of thought. Well, it doesn't take the millennium to do that when you're changed. You're changed, period. Millennium is just another setting for you. And the summons, he says, it's time to quit talking and fellowshipping down. There's time to see him that did it all. That's when that spirit is in our midst becomes incarnate to us. We crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, Holy Ghost, Lily of the Valley, Rose of Sharon, altogether lovely. That's it. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for such a word that just doesn't have one word, Lord, that can't grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, Lord. There's not one thing, Lord, that's said about you and your people that just doesn't take on added weight and added factors, facets that glisten and glow. There's none of those things, Lord, that are reserved from us. They're all open before us today. And we thank you, Lord, that it warms our hearts as we speak about him that you sent upon earth. And we know it has to warm our hearts because you said, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And even the organizations of this world said Brilliant Branham was a man sent from God, and a man wrote a book on it. But I don't know why people change their minds. I suppose they feel, Lord, that you sent a man and the man let you down. But I don't know where a prophet could do that. Because the prophet said he was in a tube. And so, Lord, I know that nobody could let you down. Not this late in the hour. There's no way, shape, and form. No way. Why would anybody want to let you down that had access like that man had access? And why would we want to turn? We've had such access. No way, Lord. So we were happy this morning for the warmth of revelation and the glow that you place in our souls, Lord. And the desire, Lord, to know you, whom to know right is life eternal, even more and more. That face to face, Lord, may increase. And Lord, your will and our lives may be totally in power so that We just no longer even desire anything of ourselves, Lord. Father God in heaven, help us at this hour to be molded in your image as never before, to be as Paul was and William Branham was and Moses and those men, Lord. Isaiah, all those great men of God, they were bond slaves, actual prisoners. Help us, Lord, to be that today. We know our words aren't going into the air, Lord, and not being received by you. We know they are, because you put this hunger in our heart to that end. And though we may be a little bit slow, Lord, in fact, we may be even rebellious at times, Father, we know that you have a way of dealing with us, and you'll see the whole thing come through, Father. We're depending on that. There's not one word going to fail. Not one word's going to fail. No way, shape, and form. But those that you call are coming in, Lord, and they are going to be prepared, made ready, absolutely, for that day. So, Father, now bless each one. Whatever the needs of the people are, we pray, oh God, you meet all of those needs to every single one of us. There won't be one of us that is not taken care of, Lord, in the measure of our need. Whatever that is, could be healing, Lord, could be financial, could be jobs, could be anything what it is, could be a more personal walk with you, which would be the best of all. And that's the one where I suppose every single one of us has upon our heart, to just be more intimate with you and more in love and just more ease in your presence and just everything God in his glory until we see nothing but God. Like the old fisherman said, son, I ain't 50 years, ain't seen nothing but God. Lord, let that be our testimony too, nothing but God. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, is the only wise God. Be all power and honor and glory, especially, Lord, from us here, because we're interested in to that depth. Be all power and glory through the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen.